Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it may be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear much fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father, is how he is glorified, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, as we come now to this time when your word is proclaimed, I ask that you might hide me now behind the cross, that the words that are spoken may not only come from you, but we filtered through your grace and through your love, and most importantly, be inspired by your Holy Spirit. We invite you into this time of the message, and we invite you into this service of rededication of our lives to you, and asking, O Holy Spirit, you'll do a good work among us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you'll see in a moment, as you turn to the hymnal in a few seconds, as Brandy invites you to do so, as we get into the Wesley Covenant Renewal Service, we're already into it. And this service of Wesley's was written in 1775, and it's something that the Methodists have been a part of, renewing the covenant, believing that God makes covenant with us and that we renew our covenant annually as a part of this service of worship. In the liturgy, Wesley offers four passages of scriptures that he encourages pastors to preach from. John 15, 1 through 8 is one of those passages which I have chosen to preach from today, because it talks about the necessary connection of abiding that we must have, or remaining in Christ to bear fruit. Also the importance that we have, friends, of bearing fruit as Christians in this world. That is how God's kingdom is known. That is how God is glorified. It is through the bearing of fruit in your and my life. And that is possible by the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So imagine, if you will, this would be thinking about Lenten times, probably. We're thinking about the Passion of Christ, but on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he leaves the upper room, and he takes the disciples, and they walk through the streets of Jerusalem, and then they exit the city through one of the gates, and there they enter into the Kidron Valley, and as they go through the Kidron Valley, there are ancient orchards there of vines. It was a vineyard. And behind him would have been the great majestic Temple Mount. And in front of him would have been the quietness of the Garden of Gethsemane, where they are heading. And they are walking maybe single file, if you can imagine that, through some vines that are planted there. And then Jesus stops, and he begins to do an object lesson with them. He says to them, I am the true vine, and my Father, he is the gardener. So let's just unpack that a little bit this morning. When Jesus says, I am the true vine, I don't know if you have visited a vineyard. I'm assuming that most of us in this room have maybe visited a vineyard, have seen pictures of vines at a vineyard. A vine is not something that just grows along the ground or along. It can be for certain other things, but for fruit, for the grapes indeed, the vine is what comes out of the ground and probably up to the waist area, 36 to 42 inches high, and there it is tied somewhat to a trellis, and the branches go off in either direction from there, so that the vine dresser, the gardener, has the availability to easily work the vine and to bring the most fruit. But Jesus is saying, I am the vine. I am what is going into the ground. I am pulling forth all the nutrients from the ground. I am raising the branches up out of the ground so that they can do what they are designed to do. They are to bear fruit. The vine is Jesus. He is the lifeline for us. Jesus is the true vine, the sole source of life and nourishment for all believers, the one whose birth we celebrated, the one for whom the Christ candle still remains lit. He is, yes, our Savior. He is, yes, our Lord. He is, yes, our great teacher, but He also is our life. And John 1:4 states, "In Him was life, and that was the light to light all of humankind." So we want to acknowledge today that Jesus is our lifeline. We lift Him up as the true life-giving source. The abundant life that we are to have in 2026 is only available through abiding in this vine that comes forth from God. And so I want you to say with me, Jesus is my life. Will you say that? Jesus is my life. And the Father is the gardener. The gardener is the keeper of the vineyard. And the gardener's task is simple: to coax from the plants the most grapes possible. A properly tended vineyard has a high yield. And God's desire, hear this now, God's desire is to see much fruitfulness in your life. That's what God desires. You want to ask the question this morning, what is God's will for my life? God's will for your life is to bear fruit for His kingdom, that He might be glorified, to bring people into the salvation of the Lord. However you do that, through acts of kindness and through words of encouragement, wherever you are, whatever you do, doing these good works, bearing fruit for God is what God's will is for us. And He, as the gardener, is designed to work with us and to connect with us through prayer and through worship and inspire us and to give us the gifts through the Holy Spirit that we might be able to do just what He is desiring of us, to be fruit bearers. Now, this has been the long vision of God, expanded through the life and ministry of Christ and through the Holy Spirit. But the origins, friends, go way back to the beginning of the story, back into Genesis chapter 12, where God calls Abraham and says, "I'm going to make a covenant with you. I have chosen you to be in covenant relationship with me so that you might be a blessing to all the nations." That's found in Genesis 12, 2 and 3. Here are the words, the calling of Abraham: "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Now, I love when my devotional reading connects with what I'm preaching on, and I'm in a new reading plan for the year, and I'm reading the book of Acts, and so the reading plan has me in chapter 3. So yesterday, January 3rd, I'm reading Acts chapter 3, and I'm reading about Peter and John. You're going to remember the cute song. Maybe you learned this in church as a child. Peter and John go to the temple to pray, and as they're there, they encounter a man along the way, and he's lame, and he's there by the outer courts, and he's desiring to have offerings. He's requested of them of money, and what does Peter say? Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man is instantly healed and begins to follow Peter and John into the temple courts to begin to worship and praise God. And you remember the song? He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. And of course, this is drawing the attention of all who've walked into the temple, probably not just that day, but other days as well. They know this man is a beggar. They know this man is lame and cannot walk. And now he's walking into the temple. He's leaping and he's praising God, and he's drawing all this attention. And Peter seizes that moment to preach the gospel of Christ to all who would hear. But why I want to make this connection, this is why I told that story, because when Peter, as I went back and was reading Acts chapter 3 and verse 25, it says, he says in his sermon, as he tells who Christ is, he says, "You are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with our fathers." He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. And I love that. Friends, Christ's ministry, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the death and resurrection of Christ is all a part of a greater storyline, all beginning with Abraham and going back to the call of God upon Abraham's life so that the whole world would know how much God loves them, that the whole world would know that they can make good gifts because their hearts have been transformed by the renewing presence of God in their lives. And this man, Peter would say, has been healed today as a blessing that was promised so very, very long ago. That blessing of Abraham, that it would be a blessing to all the nations. You are seeing it, friends. This man is walking and leaping and praising God because of the promise of long ago. Through the power of Jesus Christ, this man has been healed. So I ask you this question today. Who will you encounter that can be blessed through a good work that you do that is done for Christ? And quoting Acts 3:13, because of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, who has glorified his servant Jesus. Who are you going to bless? That's the vision. Who are you going to bear fruit for that will be of something that will bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to our Heavenly Father? Our Heavenly Father is the gardener, and he's writing a salvation story. And as a part of that story, Jesus says, it is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's reinterpret that showing yourselves to be my disciples to just read this morning as showing that you are connected with me, showing that you are connected with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God is actively working the branches, working for a high yield, cutting off branches that are producing no fruit, pruning those that are producing fruit that they might increase their yield. He's a watchful gardener. He's tending you. He's watering you. He's protecting you. He's inspecting you. He's cultivating you to bring forth fruit for his kingdom. And you and I, we're the branches. According to Jesus, we're the branches, and we are the focus of the gardener's efforts. And the desire again is that we would bear fruit. Branches, if you know, because the vine lifts them off the ground, and then the trellis that's been built, whether by sticks or whatever the trellis would have been in those days. Today, we have stakes that are in the ground. Keep those branches going off the ground, 3 to 4 feet above the ground, so they're accessible to the gardener. But most importantly, not like pumpkin vines, these grapevines and these branches are kept off of the ground. Kept off of the ground where they are clean from the mud and the rain. So when rain comes and dirt gets kicked up, we don't get muddy leaves. But these things are elevated off of the ground where the air can circulate around these plants and can bring fruitfulness and also bring a great harvest. That is the wisdom of getting up off the ground. And let me just say, by being in worship today, by beginning the 2026 year, by being in worship today, you are elevating your life. You are raising your head by coming into this sanctuary. You are raising your thoughts, realizing, as Isaiah said, our thoughts are often not God's thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. By coming to the sanctuary today, you are being raised up. You are trellised up into God's will and desire, and God is doing a good work among us by pruning and doing a good work by making our leaves and our branches fruitful for him. And what did the scripture say? Jesus said, you're already clean. You're already clean because I've given you my word. So I want to just encourage you not to just depend on Sunday messages to get the word of God into your life for the week, not to just go to a Bible study one day during the week, but you need to be in God's word daily in a daily reading plan of some kind that keeps you nurtured and fed so that you can bear the best fruit. And know also that part of the service today, there'll be some confessional things that'll be shared. There'll be some instruction about saying no to some things, because God loves us so much that he wants to prune off those little sucker branches. You know what I'm talking about. If you've owned a tree or fruit-bearing plants, you know that there's sucker branches that have to be pruned off so that all the nutrients can go into the plumpness of this great fruit that you're trying to produce. If not, you'll end up with a lot of little bitty grapes that are very tart and sour. But if you prune off the distractions, all the things that get in the way of being a disciple and a follower of Christ, and focus in your energies and live an intentional life, then you can bear the fruit which God has for you to bear. All this activity is by God in our lives to multiply the fruit in our lives. In Bruce Wilkerson's book, Secrets of the Vine, of which I took some inspiration this week as I read, he talks about polling, some informal polling that he did of Christians and non-Christians, and asking the kind of questions about, are Christians bearing fruit in their lives? And through his listening and through his tabulation, he found that 50% of the people either said they weren't bearing any fruit, or people were saying of Christians, they were not seeing any fruit. Friends, we've got to change that. We need to be reminded that God desires for us to be bearing fruit for his kingdom. 30% of those Christians observed or self-proclaimed were saying they did have some fruit in their lives, but only 5% were bearing a lot of fruit for God's kingdom. So I want to remind you, it's one of the questions of John Wesley. It's not in the liturgy today, but here it is. He would often ask this of Methodists. Have you fruit? So write that down, maybe. Is there fruit in my life that shows that I am a follower of Jesus Christ? What is making my life different than other people's lives? Where are people at recognizing that Doug or your name is a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I bearing fruit? Well, how do we bear more fruit in 2026? The key word is one you heard 10 times in the scripture reading today. You probably picked up on it. John 15, 4 starts the run. Remain in me as I remain in you. The Greek word translated remain is the Greek word meno. Meno. Dr. Jay Riley and I have a little joke about ourselves. We want to be meno Christians. And when we say it to each other, it sounds kind of like mean old Christians. But it's a meno Christian. A meno Christian is somebody who's an abiding Christian, someone who is remaining in the Lord. 10 times Jesus says this in 6 verses in this upper room walk after he's walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like a coach. He's saying, hey guys, it's about ready to end for me. We're about ready to be arrested. I'm about ready to be arrested. This is something I want you to remember, especially over these next 3 days until you see me again. But he wants them to remain in Christ, remain in me. That's what's important. So in my readings, I just looked at other Bible translations. I found words like remain in me, abide in me, make your home in me, dwell in me, continue in me, live in me, and even stay close to me. All these are action verbs. All with the object of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, all being very close to us. So Wilkerson makes one last thing comment. He says this. He says, you don't have to command a child to eat dessert. You command someone to do something because it isn't easy for them to do it naturally. Because meno in this setting, in its tense, is an imperative. It's a command. Now, I observed this at the kitchen table where you might have seen last week. I had Trey Etter up here. That was my son-in-law, my daughter. They were with us for a week for the Christmas celebration. My 3-year-old granddaughter, Anna, was often at the table. Let me just tell you about Christmas Day. Gina makes a fantastic Christmas Jell-O, and it got put on the plate along with all the other food. We had steak for Christmas this year, and Anna went right after the Jell-O. And then I watched the negotiations take place as she wanted more Jell-O, right? No, Anna, You have to eat your steak and some potatoes and some vegetables before you can have more Jell-O. What do we tend to do? We tend to go for the desserts. The next day, we're having smoked turkey, kind of a leftover smoked turkey that we'd had prepared. And she goes after the cranberry sauce, eats all the cranberry sauce. And the negotiations start again. No, Anna, you have to eat some turkey and some vegetables before you can have some of that more cranberry sauce. Isn't that just like us? I'm not going to throw my three-year-old grandchild under the bus, right? I'm the same way. I'm ready to grab that snacky, sugary snack, right? And to have that instead of a good, nutritious meal. And it's so true in the world today. We are so quick to go after a quick fix, something to just fill our bellies. We are not spending the time abiding, getting the good nourishment that we need from the vine that is our Lord Jesus Christ to go into the world to bear the fruit, because we're living on caffeine high, sugary snacks, and sometimes a poor diet just to keep ourselves going. And because of that, we are not as fruitful for God, and especially spiritually speaking. So let me just talk about this spiritually real quick as I wrap this up. On New Year's Day, didn't have to be anywhere. We went to San Antonio, got to see all seven grandchildren on Tuesday, came back on Wednesday, and friends, had Thursday as a quiet day. It was kind of a reset day. Didn't have to be anywhere, didn't have anything to do, watched some parades, watched some football games. But most importantly, before all that, I spent a good amount of time just being with the Lord. I said, if I want to preach about abiding with Christ, I want to abide with you, God. Uninterrupted, just time in my study, just begin to listen and pray, study some passages from my Bible reading plan, go into further detail, did some word studies, took some notes, got a sermon series out of it, just an extended time to abide with Christ. And I'll be honest with you, in December, the schedule was busy. Lots to do at the church, lots to do to get ready for family, and lots of other things and gift buying and other things, so much so that what happened is the time with the Lord got shortened. Has that ever happened to you as well? So maybe as we start 2026, a new commitment to just lingering with God a little bit, abiding in Christ, not rushing through the devotional time, truly just being a Mino Christian, right? Just abiding, remaining, staying, dwelling, just being with our Lord. Today we renew our covenant. A covenant is a necessary connection that we have with our Lord. The goal of a covenant is to be fruitful, but we give thanks that we are only fruitful because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great love for us. To live is Christ. Amen.
And together we'll renew our covenant. Dearly loved brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a life found in Christ, redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. We are those who have entered into this life and have been admitted into the new covenant of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator of this covenant. He sealed it with his own blood so that it would last forever. On one side of this covenant stands God, who promises to give us new life in Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Every day, God proves his goodness and his grace to us, showing us that his promise still stands firm. On the other side, we stand as those who promise to no longer live life for ourselves, but instead to only live for Jesus Christ, who has loved us and has given his life for us. There are times in our lives when it is important for us to remember and reaffirm our promises and vows. In this same way, we come today to renew our covenant with God. Many generations have done this before us. Today we make a covenant our own, renewing with both joy and sincerity the covenant that binds us all to God. We are those who seek to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ, but sometimes we fall short. Let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and submitting our hearts so that we do not deceive ourselves and cut ourselves away from God. Let us pray. Father God, you have set forth the way of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you love dearly. We shamefully confess that we have been slow to learn of him and have been reluctant to follow him. You have spoken and called to us, but we have not listened. You have revealed your beauty to us, but we have been blind. You have stretched out your hands to us through our friends, but we have passed by them. You have accepted your gifts and offered little thanks. We are unworthy of your unchanging love. We now confess to you our sins. Please forgive us for the poverty of our worship, for the selfishness of our prayers, for the inconsistency and unbelief, for the ways we neglect fellowship and your grace, for our hesitation to tell others about Christ, for the way we deceive others. Forgive us for wasting time and misusing the gifts you have given us. Forgive us for making excuses for the wrong things done and for purposefully avoiding responsibility. Forgive us for being unwilling to overcome evil with good and for not being ready to carry our cross. Forgive us for we have not allowed your love to work through us to help others, and we have not made their suffering our own. Forgive us for those times when instead of working for unity, we have made it hard for others to live with us because of our lack of forgiveness and inconsiderate judgment and quick criticism. Forgive us for times when we have not tried to reconcile with others, when we have been slow to seek redemption. Forgive us also for these sins that we silently confess to you now.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give. Or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.